Dakota County Board of Commissioners meeting Monday, November 29, 4:10 p.m.
Yeah, I'll kick that around.
Just for clarification, how many are here about the roundabout? Raise your hands.
Roundabout.
Would it upset you if I moved that further up on the agenda?
That'd be great.
Follow me to the podium, stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Please remove your caps.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. A current copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted on the east wall near the entrance to the County Board of Commissioners room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. Would you call the roll, please?
Buskay?
Yes.
Brody?
Yes.
McNair?
Yes.
Gomez?
Yes.
McLarty?
Here. Approve the minutes of the November 15 meeting, which was mailed out to you by email or postal.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the minutes. Any corrections, deletions, additions? Hearing none, call the roll.
Brody?
Yes.
McNair?
Yes.
Gomez?
Yes.
McLarty?
Yes.
Buskay?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to move to Mr. Faust. Update, please.
Got a few different things here. First, on the building addition, it is completed. We have moved in. It's working out very well. The roof doesn't leak. That was a nice change.
You guys, keep your fingers crossed. First year's not up yet.
Oh, okay, okay. We have the joint sergeant's office, the joint roll call room, and the joint locker room. And I think it surprised some of the people that use it, some of the law enforcement officers. They really like it. Some of them had some apprehensions, but I think they're finding out that by sitting in there together at shift change, they're finding out that they are both looking, both departments are looking for some of the same things out in the communities, and the information that gets exchanged almost inadvertently is doing them a world of good. So they're very satisfied with it. The training room has been used a number of times. Quite nice, and nothing elaborate, but very functional and big enough so that we can hold decent-sized meetings there with a private entrance. People that are coming in don't have to be escorted through the building, so that's a nice change. Any questions that I can answer on that part?
This is unrelated, but did you get the parking lot fixed before the weather turned?
Yes.
Did you?
Yes.
Good.
Yeah. The parking lot's been finished for just over a week.
Great.
So it wasn't by much, but it is finished. So we no longer have the Dakota County Badlands in front of the LEC.
They're going to be ending an open house for the public to come and look at.
December 14th.
What time is that?
It will be at 5:45 in the evening. The board decided they would like to have it in the evening so that more people can probably make it. We'll probably keep everything open until about 7. Everybody's welcome to attend, and you'll be getting notices or invitations either in the mail or by email.
Thank you.
Like to have everybody make it. I think you'll be impressed with what you see.
Just a question.
Yes, sir.
Your meeting room, that's where you're going to have this tabletop exercise?
Correct.
On Wednesday night?
Yes. Two ways to get in. On the east side, the northernmost entrance, or on the north side, there are two doors. Use the one to the east, and they come directly. The one comes directly into the room, and the other one you just walk around the corner. D The other thing that I brought down to talk about this afternoon is an update on the public safety communications project that was probably in your packet 2 weeks ago. If you didn't bring it along, I did bring some copies, anticipating that it was in there.
I put it in.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Oh, right here.
What we are, we're part of a 12-county region, and our grants, our Homeland Security grants, no longer come to any particular county. They come to the region. So if we need a piece of equipment, if we want to apply for training money, things like that, it's through the region. The region approves it, and so long as the region, the Board of Governors at the regional level approves it, then it goes to Nebraska Emergency Management Agency for approval, and then we can make the expenditure. Cedar County is our fiscal representative. The counties in the region are Dakota, Antelope, Burt, Cedar, Cumming, Dixon, Knox, Madison, Pierce, Stanton, Thurston, and Wayne. So we cover a pretty wide area. As you look through the information on the interoperability projects, the communications projects, look at it beyond what you see there, because there are actually about three parts to it. One is a statewide communications project. The main users will be the Nebraska State Patrol, Game and Parks, and the State Fire Marshal's Office. This is the first time that they've ever gone under centralized dispatch. So the areas, the troop zones that are using it, are very satisfied with it. As that expands, jurisdictions will have the chance to buy into it, if you will. We will not need to, but some jurisdictions might choose to do that. The other part is a data system, which you will be getting more information on, because for motor vehicles, for some of the things that Ted does, now I believe you pay a monthly subscription fee to the state for some of that computer internet work system. Excuse me. This would give you a chance to possibly drop those costs. But as that it gets further developed, I'll bring you more information on that. And then the other part, the third part, is a mutual aid system, which will enable counties, municipalities, to better talk to each other. We will develop a mutual aid system first at the regional level, and then we will tie it in at a state level. So that is in progress. They started out west. They're working east across the state. They should have most of the bugs worked out by the time they get to us. So I'm glad they did start out there. Part of it is a system called Paraclete. It's an interoperability system. We can patch different radio systems together. We can take our 800 megahertz and patch it into another county's low band or high band, and it will be a seamless communications network. With that, though, there are going to be some sustainability costs. We're still working on those. We don't know what they are. I don't expect them to be very much, but I've made it clear to the state and to the rest of the region that if it does start to get high, I will recommend that we opt out, because you have to have the money to pay for it. Any questions on any of that?
First question, your term buy into, did you mean willingness to be a part of it or costing money?
Yes to both. If you remember about 5-6 years ago, the state came out with what they called SCAN. We had a meeting here that I believe you attended. It was shot down in fairly short order. It's not necessarily another SCAN effort, but it's kind of a shadow of that. to where jurisdictions that maybe don't want to maintain their own radio systems will be able to buy into the state radio system.
And they set a cost?
At a cost.
No, no. Have they set the cost, how it's going to be?
They have not.
Whether it's going to be per population base or?
Not determined.
You don't know yet. Okay.
Any questions? Okay. The third thing that you have on the agenda is the approval of the resolution adopting the local emergency operating plan. We have to have that filed with the state in order to get our operating plan approved by the state, printed and published and sent out in book form. Once we receive it in book form, then we distribute it throughout the county to the governmental entities and response teams. I believe that it has signature blanks for each commissioner. So if we can get an original, we can get that sent into the state. I'll make a copy and I'll see to it that a copy comes back to Joan for records here. One other thing that I would
bring. Are you asking for us to pass the resolution
yes,
tonight?
Yes, if you would. You have passed it in the past.
How soon does it have to be done?
We have to have it in by the end of December.
Took care of that. Okay.
Okay. Just so we get it. The other thing, and Fred might touch on it later on, but after we had the federal declaration of emergency on the spring floods, I think you all know that we were not very well satisfied with the response we got from FEMA. First time I've ever gotten reception down here.
That's a $5 fine. You
know. Okay, that's fine. We've got the big budget. We weren't the only county that was dissatisfied with what we got from FEMA. And I'm speaking what we got in terms of reimbursement and service. There was a meeting some months ago to go over the declaration, covered about seven counties as I recall. They asked if there were any comments, and you've all met the Deputy Emergency Management Director, Deanna Beckman, and you know that she's not soft-spoken, and you know that she's not bashful. She told them what Dakota County thought of their service. There were a number of subsequent meetings. Some of the FEMA, most of the people they send out are contract workers. Some of those were sent home following that discussion. Others came out. There was a meeting out at the Roads Department this morning. The amount that Dakota County was approved for went up 341%, which I think is pretty substantial. It went from approximately 40,500 to nearly 179,000. Now keep in mind that that is 75% on FEMA, 12.5% comes from Nebraska Emergency Management, and 12.5% is a local match. But we got some people in that understood county roads. They understood that not everything is paved with streetlights. Not everything is based on Washington, D.C. as a city. They were willing to sit down and look at things with a reasonable eye, and it paid. So I think that that's good news. I think that You certainly have to recognize a lot of work put into this whole process by Fred and Jolene. Jolene's hours that she invested in getting all the records put together were just unbelievable. Joan was involved, spent a lot of time on it, so I think that you certainly want to recognize those people for what they did to get this. And with that, believe it or not, I'm finished. Questions?
No, I just add to that. I received a letter from Senator Mike Johanns, and this was dated November the 18th, in which Johanns received a letter from EMA indicating the amount of money we received in each of those parcels, and which I was going to share with the board.
Okay.
Thank you for your guess. Your figure is higher than what this is, and I'm very happy to hear yours.
We'll use yours.
Okay, we'll go with that.
This one only was up 90. This was only 96,000. So I'm quite happy to hear yours.
And you're looking at Declaration 1902.
And 1898.
These are. I'm sure it is. But these are subunits of it.
Okay.
Well, 1902 is listed on here too.
Okay.
But it's much lower than that.
Okay. These are the numbers that FEMA brought to the roads shop this morning, are they not, Fred?
Yes.
So we would hope that the latest is the most accurate.
That'd be.
My purpose in that was nothing more than to let the county know that Senator Mike Johanns went to work on upon a call from this board. When this board was frustrated, it called Johanns' office. They went to work on it and got FEMA to moving about the same time that Tiana went to work on them.
Okay.
And between the two, there was a big meeting in Lincoln between Johanns, Nelson, and Fortenberry's office with FEMA. And a lot of hard discussion was made that day, in which brought immediate reaction from FEMA. And then they came down and talked to us.
Good.
Well, you know that they were right out. It was out of action here that brought the action we wanted. We felt that 8 months was long enough to wait.
Oh, I agree. I agree. And the people that they sent out initially just did not serve anybody well, including FEMA.
They indicated that one man was fired over it?
Yes.
Okay.
Any other questions that I can answer for you? Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Do we need to work on this?
We need to take action on this resolution.
This resolution.
Do you have a copy of that?
Did you get it by email?
According to the agenda, we can vote on that resolution. Okay.
I'll make a motion.
Do you
want to
read it?
Or do you want to read the old version?
Do you want me to read it?
Go for it.
Resolution. The Board of Commissioners of Dakota County, Nebraska, pursuant to the Nebraska statute, is vested with the authority of administering the affairs of Dakota County, Nebraska, and whereas it has been determined that Dakota County Local Emergency Operations Plan has been developed in order to provide for a coordinated response in the disaster or emergency in Dakota County, the city of South Sioux City, and other cities and villages in Dakota County, and whereas the Board of Commissioners of Dakota County deems it advisable and in the best interest of Dakota County to approve said local emergency operation plan, now therefore be it resolved by the Board of Commissioners of Dakota County, Nebraska, that Dakota County Local Emergency Operations Plan be and hereby is approved. And then the date and time, okay? Does it need a number, resolution number? Okay, you're.
I'll make a motion that we adopt the LEOP update plan for the county. Or
second it.
Motion made and seconded that we adopt the resolution for the emergency operating plan as presented. Questions? Seeing none, call roll.
McNair?
Yes.
Gomez?
Yes.
McLarty?
Yes.
Lusquet?
Yes.
Rohde?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, I think each of us need to sign that before the meeting ends. Okay, with that, with the board's approval, I'd like to move down now and take up the roundabout issue. A number of our citizens are here, and rather than waste their time, I think we can go into that. The discussion of what we're talking about. I received a letter from the Department of Roads that they are going to hold a meeting in Dakota City. And this meeting is to discuss building a roundabout at the intersection of 77 and 35. At Allier, just west of Dakota City. And my interest is in this, what are your feelings, and what action would you assume that we want that we should take?
Is there somebody here from the state that's going to present anything
here tonight?
Yeah.
I don't think so. They're going to be here.
Well, my feelings are, and I'm sure
December the 7th is when they're...
December the 7th. They'll be here
okay.
from 4 to 6 in the Dakota City City Hall. And the reason this is on the agenda is what I wanted to find out, how this board wants a letter to be written and signed and delivered to them on how we feel about a roundabout at that spot.
My feelings are, if you've been across the Winnebago or Winnebago, if it's that same design, we do not want it.
Okay.
In the paper that I got, it said that the diameter was going to be 180 feet. That was going to be the size of it. You probably got the same thing in there.
I got it.
Yeah. So when you put 180 feet, you ain't got much room, not with semis. And that's what I'm against.
Okay. With that, I would like to open up and hear what you have to say to the public. If you would come up to the podium, give us your name and your address. Please spell your last name for the sake of the clerk, and then let us know how you feel. I don't want to hear a complete repetition one after the other, but I would like to know the feeling of our citizens. So who would like to speak first? Your name and spell your last name, please.
Sides, S-I-D-E-S.
Okay.
1709 Myrtle, Dakota City.
Okay.
And I'm curious, I'm sure quite a few of us come from South Sioux to turn in Dakota City. And it'll never work until it's four lane from Homer to Dakota City. Because you come from the Homer, and you'll get four or five semis, and you'll get at least 18 vehicles all lined up behind each other. When they get to the four lane out here, they all line up two at a time. Okay. Now we're going to come this way and turn into this way. They don't stop anymore because there's no stop signs. They just start coming around here. And now how are we going to get here? Okay, all of a sudden we're on the outside lane and we want to go this way, coming from South Sioux. Now how do we get through all this mess?
I understand your feeling.
You know the same feeling?
I'm right on the same page with you.
Okay.
Do you have any questions for this gentleman from the board? Okay, Mr. Sides, thank you.
Yeah, I guess that's about all I can say about it.
Okay, someone else like to speak?
Phil Slavens, S-L-A-V-E-N-S.
Thank you, Phil.
I think I'm in the circle on the map, if you've seen the map. Not as much as Patty is back here. Of course, that's our main concern. We went through this once when they paved the Highway 35, and they took some land from us. And my experience with dealing with the state when it comes to settlement on land is a sorry situation.
Is that way?
Huh?
Is that way?
Yeah, right. Huh? And I'll have to give them credit for saving taxpayers a lot of money. But had they done what they should have done in the first place, we wouldn't even be here this afternoon. We'd have an overpass over that if they would have parted with $150,000 to pay Jim Graham for the... But that's neither here nor there.
For or against?
Oh, I'm against.
Thank you.
Mostly because it's going to affect our property. I'd be more for it if it were going to be down the road and affecting somebody down there.
I understand that one too, okay.
Hi, my name's Pat Berger, B-E-R-G-E-R. My address is 451 Highway 35, Dakota City, Nebraska. My house is in the northwest corner of the junction of 77 and 35. Some places I'm 100 feet away from it. Some places I'm only 75 feet from it. So every single time a semi pulls off to check his load, to check his tarps in the air, I think, he stops. And with the turnaround or turnabout, he's not going to be able to stop there. And you can sit in my house at any given time, at any day of the week, and you can count at least 25 trucks pulling off on the east side of my home or off on the south side of my home. I'm totally against it. It's not because of the land problem or anything like that. It's just not a good plan. And especially for semis and elderly people, you get elderly people that are confused with the turning lane. And let me tell you, my folks have owned that parcel, have owned the farm, which they sold to Robertson's, since 1944. So I've gone through the country gravel road, to the pavement, to the four lane. You know, I've gone through it all. This is not a good plan.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Surely we already have the stuff in your last name.
Okay. Last summer, the engineer that isn't here came to Dakota City Hall and gave us a little briefing. I did ask some questions. I asked what the cost, and he said the savings will be $5,000 that you don't run the red light. When the government saves me $5,000, it puts a terrible fear into me what the cost is going to be. I mean, we're talking millions if they're going to save us $5,000. But at that same meeting, and I didn't get her name, we came in late, and was a gal from Winnebago, and I'm sure all of this could be shown, that she said at the roundabout at Winnebago, she knew of five vehicles that when the truck would turn and hit that inside raise, that truck would then hit a car out here, and it probably only dented the car, but the engineer said, but it didn't kill anybody. So, you know, the balances aren't really good. There was a lot more conversation, and I wrote down a lot more notes. I won't elaborate on it. Those two scare me enough to not have to elaborate.
And you are?
Against it.
Against it, okay. Someone else, please. You guys want to draw straws or flip a coin? That's all right with
me. Neil Cremerty. 457 240th Street, Homer.
Good.
K-R-U-M-W-I-E-D-E. Well, I'm against it. I've driven a semi through the one at Winnebago and the one at Blair. And just what Mrs. Sides was saying about, you get a semi in there and you get some car in there, somebody's going to end up losing some fenders. It's not pretty. And it's deep feasible.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Lloyd Kane, 468 Highway 35, C-A-I-N. I'm against, and for all of the reasons that they gave here, it seems ironic that... We have a truck embargo coming into town, so trucks is only going to be on this three sides of this thing and have to go clear around it. And could the money be better spent fixing up 110 and running them up there, because it's only 2.5 miles that we're talking about. But I also want to remind you that whenever they do this, they totally disrupt the gas system coming into town, and that is on private property and will have to be paid for on top of the everything else. So yeah, they will be contending with Northern Natural Gas as paying them too, because that line crosses within that circle on the south side of the formation.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anyone else like to speak on this issue? Ladies first.
Oh, go ahead. So this might take a while.
Holy cow, I think it will.
My name is Mary Cahill, 2302 Broadway. Now, this is written by my husband because he's in the hospital and he would be here to give this, to talk to you about this today. We're concerned with everything that these people have said. But there's another thing that I know that you people are all very busy people and you don't watch CNN. Well, 2.5 weeks ago, they had a special on pollution in America. And the study stated that the American pollution is not started by, is not because of the industry, is not because of meatpacking plants or railroad trains. The main thing is roundabouts. They say that if a roundabout is placed in your neighborhood, within 5 years, you will have people living within 1 mile to a half a mile from that roundabout will have breathing problems and or lung disease. They say this is the most pollutant thing we have in our country today. Now, I do not believe that this roundabout should be placed in a residential district. Now, you're going to say this isn't residential. This is, the residential ends at Windsor Court and at our fence line. This is the country that you're taking the land from. But that's not right. I think that if you're going to build a roundabout, it should be built out in the country. It shouldn't be built in the middle of a residential place like we have out here. We have nice houses out in that area. And some of these houses are going to lose their yard. I understand that the state is saying that I'm going to lose half of my front yard. We're going to lose part of the 13 acres we own on the corner. And Mr. Rohde will tell you that that 13 acres has got so many corners in it now that if we only have like 4 or 5 acres, that piece of land is worth nothing. So I'm completely against it. Or my husband's against it. He wrote the letter. So
Thank you.
May I have that, please?
This?
Yes.
Certainly.
Okay, someone else, please?
My name is Tom Reed. I live at 969 170th Street in rural Dakota County. I have to say I'm against it. The design of the one on Winnebago was utterly ridiculous for trucks. It's just completely unacceptable.
Way too tight.
So even if they expand this one and make it more applicable, you know, for traffic, what are we going to gain by it? They're going to spend a lot of money, and what good is it going to do? What's the purpose?
I can't answer that question, but I think on the 7th, if you go over there, I think they'll have an answer for you.
I'll be there.
May not be good, but they'll have an answer.
That's fine. We need some answers, you know, before we let this thing
go. And I'd like to see every one of you over there that night.
We'll be there. Like I said, I'd just like to voice my opposition to it. We don't have, you can count the bridges in Dakota County on one hand to safe drive a truck across. If we're going to spend this money, let's find some other place to spend it where it's a little more needed. Highways, everything else. So, thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, no one else coming up. I guess I'd like to an idea of where the board would like to go with this. We've heard what the citizens feel.
I'm opposed to it.
I am too.
I'm opposed.
Okay, thank you.
He's had a right to be in the conversation.
Okay, would you authorize then the chair to write a letter and to be presented at this meeting on the 7th, stating basically the feelings of our constituents here and sign it?
I'll second it.
Motion made and seconded to have the chair write a letter and sign it and present it at the meeting on December the 7th. Questions?
I'd just like to comment in that letter.
Why don't you come up here?
Okay. This letter that was sent out by
the Department of Roads.
That they stressed that the main reason that the state was doing these roundabouts was the reduction of accidents and deaths. Well, we've sure paid our debt in deaths on that intersection. Why all of a sudden is this a big concern to the Department of Roads? Anybody got a guess as to why they think this is needed? Are you going to put a plant down on the north side, north of that intersection? That maybe this is just a wild rumor, but I've heard there's going to be quite a business down there that's going to employ a number of people.
That business, sir, has nothing to do with the roundabout.
Well, how are we going to get people into that?
Into
that plant.
That I don't have an answer for, but I know
that's where they need to build the roundabout is down in the middle of the section.
I do know that the people or the plant is concerned about the roundabout not being able to give them entrance.
They're against it too. Well, then there's no use of us being concerned about it. They'll take care of that.
Okay. Any other comments? Call roll.
Gomez?
Yes.
McLarty?
Yes.
Buskay?
Yes.
Brody?
Yes.
McNair?
Yes.
Okay, we will write a letter and we will present it at the meeting, and I hope all of you will be in attendance. With that, we will go back up and go on to the meeting. The
Thank
board
you,
signed
Dave,
a 3-year contract for audits with Romans, Weimer, and Associates. This letter of engagement, chair to sign for the budget.
Just a second.
Tell ya. Take care.
I won't say what I'm thinking.
I may be repeating myself, so hold on. The board signed a 3-year contract for audits with Romans, Weimer, and Associates. The county received a letter of engagement, which the chair has to sign for the budget year ending June 30th, 2010. I need a motion to authorize the chair to sign the letter of engagement.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to authorize the chair to sign the letter of engagement. Questions? Call roll.
McLarty?
Yes.
Buskay?
Yes.
Brody?
Yes.
McNair?
Yes.
Gomez?
Yes.
Next, Dakota County Jail Corrections Facility. Here we have members for the SETA agency. There's some concern about that, but the board needs to appoint different county members. And the meeting has been scheduled for December the 7th, 2010. It has been suggested that the chair, the current chair, be appointed to this committee because of the signing of documents as is stated.
And Lyle
Is that right?
Yes.
And Lyle Todd.
Yes.
And Lyle Todd.
And Lyle Todd being the other
at large
member.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to appoint the current chair to this board and Lyle Todd as a member at large. Questions? Call roll.
Buskay?
Yes.
Brody?
Yes.
McNair?
Yes.
Gomez?
Yes.
McLarty?
Yes. Next, approve the payroll claims. We have some question with the payroll. We have some conflicts with the labor contract. Labor contract stipulates in what segments you can take leave, sick leave,
sick and vacation.
And they have been I should say, the department heads have, or their representative, have approved people to do less than what the contract says, and then we're talking about the contract with the jail and the deputies. Options is one, you can vote or say that we are going to adhere by the contract, and these people then will not be paid that for the time they were off. You can say, all right, we are going to authorize it this time, but nothing in the future. Or you can just let it go and do nothing. Kim, what's your recommendation?
Well, whether or not they be paid is completely up to you, but I would advise to follow all contracts that you've entered into, because those are legal documents. And
okay, let me ask you this question then. That's what the contractual says, that's what our agreement is with them. Do we have an obligation to pay people regardless of what the contractual language is if they work the time?
Do you have an example?
No, I'm just asking.
I mean, do you have a specific one?
If we were...
I don't understand what exactly you want.
If they work like 2 hours, and under that contract, we really don't have to pay them. Are we obligated by law to pay them for the hours they worked?
I would pay them, but that's up to you.
If they work the hours, we pay them. But if they're putting in for time in violation of the contract, you know, they put in for 4 hours or put in for 2 hours, and it says you can only use it in 4 hour blocks, and you don't pay them for the 2 hours a day.
Again, it's your call if you want to pay them or not. I would advise that you follow any contracts that you've entered into.
I think. What we need to do, or just a suggestion, or it could be a motion too, is that we go ahead and pay them this time, and that we follow all the contracts from here on out, and let it be known that we're not going to differentiate from them. And if they do it again, we're not going to pay them.
Other comments?
I go along with Rick.
Has this been an issue before?
Yeah.
Apparently, I'm sure it has, hasn't it? Just hasn't been brought up.
And you know, maybe they're aware, they're not aware of it, but like Kim said, it's a legal contract, and we need to follow the contract. So I'd say pay them this time, and then make sure they follow those contracts, and if they come back again, we won't pay it.
Has there been, when I'm like Billy now, has it been doing it in the past continuously, or what's the deal, or why is it all coming up right now? That's what I want to find out.
It has happened in the past, I'm sure.
I want to address that.
Well, if I may just start off from the beginning, is my office noticed it when I hired new staff that people were not abiding by the contract, and by people I mean employees and supervisors. Sick leave was accumulated prior to the time that it was earned. People are paying sick leave for family members other than the employee. Several other instances, and I really don't care what the board does. If you want to, I understand what Kim's saying is legal binding. My concern is that you have had people that are new hires and have taken sick leave without earning it, and how do you be fair between these people and other people that maybe haven't taken sick leave but will need it within their first year? You know, I think if it's my call, I think it's a fairness issue. I think it's legal binding. I think what I would like to see come out of this is that supervisors and department heads need to abide by that contract, and it's not being done. and whether you apply that to this contract or the next contract, I don't care. We have had some requests to provide services to the employees by putting sick leave, vacation, and that on their paychecks. That's when it came noticeable, because we're trying to put in the computer tables that accommodate the contract language. And we noticed that the contract language was not being adhered to, so we're at a loss to what we need to do to be able to provide the employees and the county with that service. And so that's when it became an issue. I think what I'm looking for is maybe direction. I don't care what direction that is, of where to go with this.
Okay. That's what I just wanted to know, you know, if it's an issue or what the deal. So. Was that you going to make that motion?
I'll make that motion that we pay them this time, and that we follow the contract by the letter.
A second.
Motion made and seconded to approve payroll claims as presented this time, but in the future they must follow the contract language. That's it. Any comment from the board?
Maybe contact each department head through letter.
Yeah.
Let them each know that.
You want them notified by letter signed by?
Chair.
The chair. Somehow I knew that was coming. Okay, we'll do. If that's in the motion, is it?
Is that all right, Rick?
That's fine.
Yeah. Okay. Is that okay, John?
That's fine. That's a good idea.
Any questions from the board? Or public?
I want to make a comment.
Head up here, please.
I want to make a comment, but not as a deputy and not representing the Sheriff's Department.
Okay.
Our union contract, a couple things that we've done, I guess, as part of it. Over the years, the contract says, and our policy or our personnel manual says, employee can go like the doctor can use sick time for that. So, first of all, you're telling us can't use the 4 hours sick time, even though we have paid people like 2 hours, because they'll get off 2 hours early to go to the doctor because they have a doctor's appointment. They take 2 hours of sick time. Now you're saying we've got to pay for if they take the afternoon off, which isn't the thing. I'm telling you, that's why there's a difference on some of them points like that. The other things I think you need to do, I think you need to contact your union people that have done the negotiations. The bits and pieces that I've heard already over this issue involving our union rep, the jail's union rep, stuff like this, there was some verbiage put in the last contract that was never brought up in negotiations. Even the department heads will tell you, and the people that were on the boards that were involved in the negotiations will tell you that it was not brought up. And there was a couple sentences inserted into the new contract and signed that people did not know it changed. One of them pertained to that 6-year or 1-year deal on the sick time. I'm just telling you some of the concerns that I've heard already. I think you need to contact your union reps and talk to them too and find out their side before you say you're going to be absolute stern in the future and find out where there was a problem if there was.
Ask me this question. Did the union reps and the union approve the contract as written?
Yes, they did, as far as I know.
Then they are obligated to live by the contract verbiage that was printed as they signed.
And I would say in the good faith that they thought things were being left as were in the parts that were not discussed.
We have to go by the verbiage in the contract.
I understand. I'm just saying I think you need to talk to the union people too, though, and explain to them what they can hear their side before you say that, hey, this is cut in stone.
Any changes to that needs to be done through negotiations. So they sit down and discuss it. Any changes to the contract verbiage has to be agreed as in a negotiation setting.
I'm just commenting on the fact you say you want to notify the department heads. I think you need to notify the union reps too and go from there if there's a question that they need to, so they have an opportunity to come talk to you about it.
Okay. We will include the union reps in the letter. Okay. Any others? Call the roll.
Rohde?
Yes.
McNair?
Yes.
Gomez?
Yes.
McLarty?
Yes.
Busquet?
Yes.
May I make a statement here, Mr. Mm-hmm. Chairman? When I brought this up to the jail, I brought it up as a management discussion item only, that I am displeased that it got to the union without management discussing this first, and I will go on record as that, because the union did not need to get involved until management had reviewed what was happening and discussed it and decided where to go with it. And that's my comment.
Point well taken. Next is a letter from Thurston County requesting that the Dakota County pay rent for the storage of a maintainer in Emerson using Thurston County garage. That is asking for $400 a month rental. And what we have right now is a bill for, what was it, $1,200?
A quarter.
What?
A quarter.
For the quarter.
For the one quarter. Now, I will point out there has been no agreement made or signed in the past on this, and we have not paid rent in the past. And when I say rent, I'm talking about money. There may have been some other negotiations that were trade-offs, but not money as this bill is concerned. Fred, do I have it accurate?
Yes. The maintainer there in Emerson has been there for 10 years now, and but there has been, like you say, no rent paid. Some gravel, a few things like that has helped with Thurston County, but no money or rent was ever discussed. When the maintainer was first parked there, agreement between the two superintendents was just a verbal agreement. Yes, it's fine. There's a two stall. Dakota County got to use one stall.
Okay, so what we have here is Thurston County deciding on its own to start billing us with no written agreement, nothing.
Do you have any solutions?
I haven't talked to anybody from Thurston County because I did not want to, you know, make any agreements or anything until I heard what the board had said. Me personally, I hate to start spending $400 a month for rent and have nothing to show for it. That, I don't know how many of you have seen it. It is a building 40 years old at least, and it is in need of repair. And I'm sure that's what Thurston County is looking at. And it is a heated shed. During a blizzard, it looks like the Taj Mahal, even though it isn't much, but it is a heated building. Cover for the maintainer to be in.
Right.
Cold and blizzard now. We don't have too many other options in Emerson. But I suggest that maybe we at least look for, you know, some land or a possibility of building. If we're gonna start putting $400 a month, at least have something to show for it for Dakota County.
What's your recommendation for us to do right now?
As you know, we just bought a new maintainer. That is where the new maintainer is going to go in that direction. First of the year, I'd hate to see that sit outside right off the get-go. Maybe put in the first quarter so it has a building to be in for blizzards and emergencies. Emerson maintainer is used for emergencies since we're the only operator in that area that has an operator and a maintainer, Dakota County, for fire and rescue. It's never been used at that point yet, but fire and rescue does. So I would like to see it be used at maybe the first quarter and then make decisions.
Are you saying that the grader is here for use by Emerson, Thurston County, and Dixon?
Yeah. if there was a fire or a rescue call in Dixon or Thurston County, it has been asked of Dakota County if they would go that way.
And we've been willing to do that.
And we haven't, but we've all agreed that we would if that was the case. We would help out to any degree until, meet another county, another emergency vehicle to help with them.
And your recommendation is that we do it for 3 months. And we pay them $400 for 3 months.
Pardon?
That we go ahead and pay $400 for 3 months in order to...
I would hate to get caught in the wintertime without something, yes.
Well, you're talking about protecting our investment.
Yes.
Okay, Board?
I did ask some asking around, and Harvey Claypool's got a building up there. Would that work?
I haven't looked at it.
And then the Village of Emerson bought the REA building.
Yes.
And I was wondering if maybe we could contact them and see if they would rent us a stall. That's a heated building.
But that's, if you've ever been inside that building, a maintainer won't fit in it.
It won't.
There's an actual dock inside that building where they used to load the transformers onto the pickups.
I didn't know if there was anything behind it or not.
No. They keep all their heavy equipment in another Quonset down in their old facility, the city does.
Okay. If a guy could contact Harvey Claypool and see if he had room in that building there, I know it's heated. Okay. He lived in it.
Yep.
So.
They haven't sent us a bill yet, right?
Basically, yes.
What they did.
Mm-hmm. I think the letter they sent us could be a
pin on it. And if we are using the heat and electricity to plug it in, we need to pay them something. But I don't know if it's $400 a month. That seems a little steep to me. But
they have. Nirma wrote me a letter that the Tim Baxter, the safety, he did kind of red tag their building for electrical problems and suggested in that.
That's a good story.
The Dakota County help him. He didn't red tag it, but they have to do upgrades.
I see.
And he suggested since we use it that we, and there has been talk of other times that building on and upgrades to their building, and they just needed help with it. But I think they got a new commissioner that went along with it this time.
Well, I know the doors. Dakota County, we worked over there probably a good 2 months, me and Bob Jacobson, when we put the doors in. So I know that. In insulation, we went over and worked because that's when Arnie had us go over and, help him when we had to maintain there with Willie. So I know we helped do, quite a bit over there at that time, but we haven't. I don't think we've done anything except you've been on.
Did Willie keep the maintainer in there?
No. In wintertime, he took it home. No, that went to Willie's house in wintertime. He parked it out there. No, just in the summertime, he parked it in there. Wintertime, he stayed at his place.
What's your desire?
Why don't we table this for a couple weeks so you can look at some other options?
Yeah, I will.
We got two more meetings before the first of the year.
Right.
I will talk to Jeff Malossi, the Thurston County Highway Foreman, and I can. I'm not sure who the commissioner is in that district now, but I will find out from Jeff. Contact him just to see where.
Okay.
What his thoughts are. The commissioners there take care of their own district, so.
Well, I got a call from Leonard. Leonard Peters wanted to call me.
I don't think he's in that district.
No, he's not in that district.
I think we just need to take it up. Like Bill said,
maybe check this Claypool building.
Yeah, check out the Claypool building. I stopped, and he's supposed to be getting back to me. And then, maybe look around and see if there's another building up.
Right.
Okay. I don't know.
I rent a 40 by 100 shop in South Sioux for $400 a month.
Right now, our fuel facility, we actually use our fuel facility too. So once we move, we will have to find a fuel facility also. Just wanted to make you all aware of that also.
Do they have diesel there in Hubbard or at Emerson at any of the filling stations?
Yes. Just at the one gas station there, though, I don't recommend that for one reason. It's the only gas station. I don't know if anybody's been in there. It's not an easy gas station. 3:30 when a maintainer's coming in and school getting out would be a disaster there. But if we could find a 500-gallon tank, which we can, and some electricity, I think we can alleviate that problem. I just want to let you know that that's, we also use their facility sure. for that.
Well, I think if a guy would go talk to Wayne Warren down there, you know, I'll bet we could put a barrel down there, because we buy all the fuel from him. Mm-hmm. And I know we could put a barrel down there at Wayne Warren's deal, you know, and he could fill up right there. So, you know, maybe that would be an option. I'm just saying. You know,
well, like
I'm like Billy. That $400 is awful cheap.
Why don't we just table that Billy says? You know, yeah. 2 weeks, and you guys, the health department, look into it. You
yeah,
know, and
let's do that.
See what you find out, and just like he says, paying $400 is
because in the summertime we're out. In the summertime, it's never plugged in.
Okay, I'll make a motion. We table it.
Sorry.
Okay.
Motion made and seconded to table and allow time for negotiation. Call roll.
McNair?
Yes.
Gomez?
Yes.
McLarty?
Yes.
Bousquet?
Yes.
Roden?
Yes.
Next item is accept the Bill McLarty's letter of resignation as of December the 10th due to the fact that he has been sworn in, or to be sworn in then as mayor of South Sioux City.
So move to accept the resignation of the chairperson as of December 10th.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Questions? Call roll.
Gomez?
Yes.
McLarty?
Yes.
Bousquet?
Yes.
Brody?
Yes.
McNair?
Yes.
Can I vote on my own?
You can.
You can abstain.
You can abstain.
I can vote myself out.
Sure.
Goodwill camp.
You didn't know if it was going to be a tie.
Oh, on that Goodwill camp, I talked to Fred. He said the backhoe is ready to go, but I'm going to go talk to Larry or Mark Albanese tomorrow. They got a cat already out there, and I said something to Bill about it. I think there's only like 12 or 15 trees that have to be. They've got the trees all cut. All we have to do is just take out the stumps. So if they can push it out, we won't have to move our backhoe all the way up there. So I'll get a hold of them tomorrow and see if they'll dig it out. If not, then Fred said we can take the backhoe up there. So.
Okay, is that all
right? Okay.
Okay. Installation of GPS.
I put that on there. We have Fred's pickup. Sprint by roads and a red Dodge pickup that have not had the GPS units put in them yet. And to make continuity throughout that department up there, I suggest that they're all put in. So that's my motion, and go from there.
So you suggested to put all the GPS?
I think they need to be in all the vehicles, all the pickups that are up there. Because if they're not, then you just got.
Well, my question is, why do we go to that program if we don't implement in every bridge? Well, I mean,
that was my understanding that they were supposed to be on all of them too, but they're not. And this was my way to get them put in there. It's just to put it on the agenda and to get it passed, so that they're all in there. And Fred knows that that's what we want.
The first understanding I had was 12 units. When we met with the road committee, is 12 units, and I think we're up to 13 now, is what we budgeted for. And if we, I just have a few other things too. We haven't gotten all the bugs out of the system that we're using. I would like, before we added it into any more units, I would like to see a few of the bugaboos worked out of it. I got, as you know, I'm getting text messages and emails. I got, just last Wednesday, I got 15 text messages that the same unit was leaving five different residents. And and I'd like to get some of this stuff fixed before adding it on to, before buying more units. Also, the blade up and blade down.
Yeah, that did happen.
And then the diagnostic does not work in any of them. These are all things that were promised by the seller. He also even said our insurance would go down I have talked to NERMA. They were supposed to get back to me. They haven't, but they didn't think it would go down anywhere close. I think it was 18% and 12%. I'd like to get a few of these issues to see if we could get the price down on it and some of the things fixed before we add more units.
Yeah. Well,
that is my position on it.
I think we get the bugs worked out of it, but I still think that they need to be in all the vehicles. And let's work on the bugs, but I'd like to see those units put in those vehicles.
And that will stay the 12, then we'll just add these on?
I don't believe the sheriff's department. I don't know what they're going to leave that up to the new sheriff, what he has, but from what I've been hearing, that they're probably not going to put them in those. But we'll have to see. So I think there was some folks going to sheriff's units.
Oh, yeah, I haven't heard that before.
I haven't either.
Sheriff's, no.
Well, I talked to Rod, but, you know, he's go on his way to see what the other sheriff wanted to do and how he was going to manage his men, stuff like that. So,
did you have a motion to do so?
No, I think so. I know.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a motion to put them in all vehicles, but there's been no second.
So say the motion again, Ray, please.
My motion is to, so that we have continuity in that department up there, that we put GPS units in all the vehicles.
I second.
Did you second it?
I did.
Okay. Motion made and seconded to put the GPS units in all county road vehicles. Discussion?
Well, I'm not against putting them in all the vehicles, but if I bought these units and put them in my equipment and they're not working like they're not working now, I wouldn't add any more. And Jesse sat right here and told us all these features, the blade up, blade down, the engine mm-hmm. check. I don't think we're getting what we're paying for, plain and simple. I think until we get some of those things ironed out or he decreases the price of them, you know, we do this, we don't have some leverage with him.
I think we need to get him in here and we need to talk to him about the contract that we signed with him and the stuff that he agreed to.
That's right.
We will. And make him adjust his contract as such.
Yeah.
We have signed a contract with Jesse?
No, but with the agreement we had with him. And I think he was here and presented it enough times that we've got it on record of what he said. So that ought to be binding enough. And
is that okay? You was delayed to add it on to motion, saying that we put in all the vehicles that subject to check out all the bugs or the problems that we have right now. I mean, is there something that you want added? I mean, it's just a thought. I don't know. Is this too late?
Well, what is some of the problems? I mean, because I don't have it. So I don't know what we're talking about when we come to problems.
Well, like I say, it is supposed to have a geofence. Some of the things that it does is 15-minute idle time on a pickup, 30-minute idle time on a maintainer, perimeter of each one of the operator's employee's house. If any of these vehicles go within a perimeter of their house, I get a text or an email. Perimeter of the county, if anyone leaves county, it gets off start time, end time, and weekends if anyone starts a vehicle, this goes off in speed. And right now, some of those things aren't working. Like I said, here's an example. Like I said, I get a text on my cell phone. Jolene gets an email on her computer. But as you can see, that was just last Wednesday. And that is what it looks like. And as you can see, that is the same machine, but it's leaving at the same time five different people's residence. And, you know, I'm like I said, before we added on to the more units, and I'd like to get the price set, and I'd like to make sure everything is working. I have been kind of in on the from the beginning, but I would like to get my 2 cents in now.
And G18 is a road grader?
No, it is a pickup. But you can see it has, as you look through that, you can see it's G18 and it's left Emerson and Hubbard, and it's all dated Wednesday. And this isn't the first time this has happened. And I have talked to Jesse about it. He's tried to fix it. Had a few good days, a few bad days. We've had other instances of other things happening. Pickups, you know, just.
Yeah, but are they all? This one here is all G18. Okay, what pickup would that be?
That would be the blue Ford.
Okay, it's all leaving different houses at the same time.
Okay, now we've always had trouble with that. They said, why? They said one time that it was in Thurston County, and I couldn't figure that out.
I had the same kind of a text or message the other day, and it was on a maintainer. It did the same thing. So it isn't just to one vehicle. I just brought this in for one instance is all. If you would like to look at all the documentation, we take everything out every day, and it goes into a binder.
Okay.
It's just and there's some things that it has worked. It worked fine, but sometimes we had a maintainer doing 40 mile an hour one day.
Yeah, I know. You told me that.
Are we paying money out on these rentals already? Are we leasing them and paying the price of them now?
Yes.
Well, I think what we ought to do, he made a motion, he seconded it. Okay, I'll go along with all of that. I ain't got no problem. But I think Jesse ought to get back over here. I haven't talked to him, and I don't bring it up on mine. I'm just speaking what you're telling me. This is what I'm going by. But I think he should get back over here, and because I know this G18 was told to me one night that it was in Dixon County. I said, why? He said, no, it's parked at the Hubbard Shop. And I said, what do you mean it's parked at the Hubbard Shop? So that's what I'm trying to get at. I think Jesse ought to get back here now and see what's going on. Because every one of these is 18 here, is what I got.
Let me reword my motion.
Yeah, you got to have that.
You have to withdraw it first.
You can keep that.
Okay.
I'll withdraw my motion. Let me
withdraw
it.
Both withdraw. Okay.
My motion is to install the rest of the GPSs when all of Fred's issues are identified and worked with the best of their ability, and that we get it. Jesse here, work them out.
What about price negotiation?
Well, we're going to have to work that with him. I don't know if that needs to be in my motion to work with him on price.
Do I understand the motion to be to still put them in all vehicles and get Jesse in here to straighten it out?
That's correct. Make sure that we're getting what we're supposed to get.
All right, we have a motion made and seconded. Comments?
Would it be better to do it by committee? Because otherwise you're taking 2 week leads. So, if Jesse comes next week and you don't have it resolved, then it's 2 weeks more.
No, I take somebody. I get a hold of Jesse right now and say, Jesse, we got these deals in here. We want them taken care of today, not a week, not 10 days. Today, and that's the way we do stuff.
But I think the price of it would have to be Jesse here with the full board.
Right.
I think the price ought to be discussed also with Jesse. Yeah.
Any other comments? My personal feeling is I am not in favor of putting in more GPSs that are going to cost us more money and getting no service that we were promised. My basic belief is we don't pay anymore until he gets it straightened out and performs as he said they were going to. That's my personal feeling.
I'm not opposed to GPS.
That was my motion,
I'm just opposed to doing any more until he gets them to working right.
That's my motion. That was what I, that's how I stated it.
Yeah. But I thought your motion was you still put them all in.
When after we get the issues resolved.
After
the issues are resolved.
I understood it. Put them in now and then.
No.
Okay.
After the
I'm sorry,
issues
I,
are resolved.
I had the wrong issue. Okay, any other questions? Comments? From the public? You want to get in on this? Okay,
I have no problems.
It looks to me like you want to take the fifth. Okay, call roll.
Gomez?
Yes.
McLarty?
Yes.
Ruskay?
Yes.
Rudy?
No.
McNair?
Yes.
Okay, Commissioner, committee reports? Member reports. Have a letter from Willis Lettke, who is requesting our vote for him to serve on the NIRMA board. He was appointed to it. He wants to continue on it. That's up to the delegate. We also have been notified of L.P. Gill. Leonard has refiled for his permit for the solid waste department. This is before the state. They're not asking for us anything unless we want to speak one way or the other. They're asking for nothing, just notifying us. The other thing I have is I've been notified that they have legislative meetings. SIMCO is having one at WIT at 9 a.m. on December the 3rd, and Tri-State is having one at Bev's on the River, 9 a.m. on the 10th, 1 week later. That's all the notifications I've received. Okay.
And Wednesday night we have
Tabletop
at LAC.
Yeah.
What time is that?
Six?
Five, I believe, right, Pat?
I thought it was six.
Six.
Six?
I would point out, in reference to that,
yeah.
Although Pat didn't mention it, that, as I understand, funding in the future for many of our projects that we have that go through the LEC may not be funded unless elected officials take a more active part in it.
May I?
I wish.
You are correct. Homeland Security is tightening things up. One of the things that I've sent you emails on in the past was NIMS certification. They are doing audits on NIMS, and if they find that the right officials don't have the right certifications, they will freeze our grants. It would not necessarily just be our grants at the LEC, but it could be your road and bridge grants as well. The tabletop exercise is one step leading up to what they call a full-scale exercise. And we are required to report that through a federal reporting system to include the names and titles of the people that participate, especially the elected and chief appointed officials. At this point, whether we're looking at the county side of the house or the city side of the house, we would not withstand an audit.
Okay. So if you are interested in participating in the exercise that's coming up Wednesday, I'd suggest that you notify Pat right away so that you will be put on the list. Fair enough, Pat?
Excellent. And just as an enticement, there will be food served.
we won't miss that.
You know, I would hope not. But we are going to have a meal there. But this is something, I think that if you just attend the tabletop, and this applies to all offices, I think that And I think maybe Kim is already committed, I'm not sure. I think if you're just there to observe, you're going to learn a lot and you're going to see the need, because things can get out of hand very quickly. And by having everybody kind of on the same page and at least familiar with the functions, then we can avoid a lot of those pitfalls.
Things I found in the past, both working in government and in the military, is that you get into one of these exercises and you find out where your flaws are in your operation and you can take steps to correct them. So when you do need them, they work smoother. A living example is 232 at the air base. They had an exercise down there in a plane crash, and shortly thereafter, 232 crashed. And if they hadn't had that exercise and the different agencies working, it would have been bedlam. It was bad enough the way it was, but it would have been a whole lot worse.
This exercise, if I may, was designed and will be facilitated by the Wayne State College Emergency Management class. They have designed the entire exercise. I have participated in a couple of their exercises before, and I will guarantee you that they are first rate.
So we get college credits.
If you pay your tuition. I don't think there are many people that dislike exercises as much as I do, because I've been involved in a couple that went really bad. However, having been a part of a couple of theirs in the past and knowing that they have put this one together, I am looking forward to it. This might bring me back around to the right way of thinking, but it's very important, and it's not a game. The one thing is that no one will fail. Nobody's going to look and point a finger and say, why did you ever do that? That will not happen. It's a learning experience, and it is a true experience.
Thank you, Pat. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to address the board on any issue that was not on the agenda?
I do have one comment, if I could.
Well, for you, we will let that happen.
Thank you. I would like to thank, I know a lot of people in this room that were responsible for receiving this FEMA money. And some of them aren't in the room, but they worked very hard. I know Fred was getting a little discouraged at times, and Jolene, but that went on a long, long time. And I know they did a stack of paperwork. And Pat, you and Joan, I know Bill did a lot of work on it. Appreciate your efforts.
I think
it definitely paid off.
The bulk of the praise needs to go out to the shops with Fred and Jolene, because they went above and beyond. There were days that I think Fred was looking for a tall bridge with lots of rocks underneath, but I don't blame him, because anything that could have went wrong or could have been misguided went that way. But it turned out well, and they put a tremendous effort into it.
Thank you. Anything else?
Can I make a comment myself?
I
just want to thank the chairperson for the years of service on the board. Personally, myself, I know we only lost a great man. Good luck in your new position. You've been there before, so you know what to do. But here, I learned a lot myself from yourself, and good luck. God bless you.
Okay, with that, we'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Call roll.
McLarty?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Lodi?
Yes.
McNair?
Yes.
Gomez?
Yes.
Thank you all for coming. Appreciate your time.
8 o'clock in the morning, I'll thank you.
Do I get to take one?
So, Joan, when do I have to hand them this flag when I get there?